getting you to by intentionally riling you up, and then just to get you involved. Don't you love to be riled up? And then we'll move from there. We're going to start with my pet peeve. We're going to go to Parshat. We're going to start in Parshat Noach, and then immediately go to Rabbi David Gottlieb. Yes, immediately go to Gottlieb. Why you Torah? We're going to immediately go to back to Parshat Bereishit. And then we're going to have a piece, actually. Let's see as much as this as we can do. A very powerful piece of Rav Kook from Orot, which relates to last week's Parsha. Okay, and Christianity, mostly Christianity. Okay, and kind. So, as that introduction. So last week, I first want to wholeheartedly congratulate all the women that participated and in the run at the end of the week. Okay, in the Meirutz Lemilyon. Oh no, so they were the Meirutz Yad Binyamin. It was very nice. Okay, Yashar Koach, if you did it and you weren't sore afterwards, it's even more impressive. Okay? Watching the video, though, something bothered me. I have a pet peeve. Like, the thing was beautiful and everybody ran, blah, blah, blah. But they have this thing about everybody who came got a medal. What? It's America? Everybody who came got a medal. What?
Every single got a medal from running the London Marathon and he didn't win.
Right.
America
is a 5K. I don't know. Maybe is a marathon even the 5K? Could be.
Does it bother you because there's only one winner? Or does it bother you because everybody has to get something?
That's right. That's what bothers me. It bothers me because...
It wasn't a mem tech.
Right. That's true. It bothers me because everybody has to get something. Like, you get the shirt, I get. And there should be winners, I get. And you should be proud of what you did. It's an accomplishment.
Well, you know, it's not... trophies to the winners.
No problem. But there's a sort of cultural thing, like... I'm curious what people do with the medals. Like, do you hang it up? Are you proud of the medal? I mean,
you give it to your kids. You know
what?
My son's bedroom. Every school that you go to, every year, you've got to get a medal.
And they keep
it. Yeah, Patachia also got a basketball medal. Okay, so wow, I thought you guys would yell at me. You totally agree with me. I like it.
As a coach, I totally agree with you. And yeah. It's something I have to struggle with to figure out that balance on how to feel the kids. How to teach the kids that they've achieved, and then there's different levels of achievement.
Right, they've achieved for themselves, but everybody wants them, like I'm curious how people do with the medals, like, wow, you got it, what'd you get that medal for? I ran a race. Right, but what'd you get the medal for? You know, like even in the school, they give a medal for participating.
It's something symbolic to encourage people to
participate.
I think it does the opposite. I don't think it encourages, I think it does the opposite, and mediocrity is okay because if everybody's getting, then it doesn't matter who wins.
Certificate of completion is fine.
That's what I
mean. A certificate. Or a t-shirt. A t-shirt would work for me too. Oh, they gave a t-shirt. Anyway, why do I say this? I thought you guys would all yell at me. Why do I say this? I'm happy to hear that you don't. I say this because there's an aspect of this attitude.
And she'll yell at me later.
There's an aspect of this attitude at the end of the parsha in the story of Migdal Bavel. So we're going to touch on the story of Migdal Bavel. Okay, which is in Perek Yud Aleph, the beginning of chapter 11. Okay, that we're not going to do the whole story in Migdal Bavel. Have we ever done it?
Yeah.
We have done it. I thought we did. So we're not going to do the whole story in Migdal Bavel. We're going to just hit on one point. We're going to hit on one point, chapter 11. Okay? Yeah, I remember saying that. Vayihi kol ha'aretz safa achat, echat udvarim achadim. We're not doing the whole story. We're not going through it textually. Sorry. Okay. Yes, we already discussed it. If people want to study, texting. But he called art safa achad udvarim achadim. The whole world was one language. Dvarim achadim. Singular words.
Well, yes, it's common purpose.
Okay, but that's not what.
No,
that's not what it means.
It's like a uniform.
Dvarim achadim.
Uniformity.
Correct. There was a certain they spoke one language and there was a certain uniformity. Mm-hmm. Okay. Pasuk bet. Vayehi benos'am mikedem. When they traveled from the east, vayimzu bika be'eretz Shinar vayeshvu. Some they found a valley in the land of Shinar and they dwelt there. Vayemu ish el re'ehu. Hava nilbana levenim v'nisrefa lisrefa. But the hilam halaveinah the even b'chem ayalam nechomer. Let's make bricks and we'll burn burnings and let's build. I'm paraphrasing. Pasuk dalet. Vayamru, and they said, Hava nivne lanu ir, let us build for ourselves a city, u'migdal, and a tower, v'rosho bashamayim, its head is in the sky, v'naseh lanu shem, and we will make for ourselves a name, pen nafut al panei kol ha'aretz, lest we spread out upon the face of the earth. So it's fascinating. If you do a study, even a brief study of the commentaries on Migdal Bavel, it runs the gamut. Because the obvious question is, and the rest of the story is, God says this is a bad thing, and as we all know, he changed up the languages, he separated languages, and they couldn't understand each other, and then he spread them out the face of the earth. The problem is, what's wrong? What's wrong with what they said? Let's say what they said again. Okay, but he said, let's build a city with a migdal, with a tower in the skies, and we'll make for ourselves a name. I'm focusing just today. You can focus on anything you want, obviously, but I'm focusing today on let us make for ourselves a name. And this resonated with me strongly in light of my brief introduction. What does it mean that v'naseh lanu shem? We want to make for ourselves a name. This is just a group. Was this everyone? Was this the whole world? Right. V'naseh lanu shem. What does it mean we want to make for ourselves a name?
We'll make ourselves famous. Great.
Right. That's what it sounds like to me. We want everybody to know about us, our tower, our city. Why?
Why is it a problem?
Why? Why do I need to have a name? You have to find that. Not that I'm familiar with. Okay, this idea of an aser lanu shem. I want to have a name for myself. It resonates very strongly with our culture.
Yeah.
Very much with our culture. You know, and I would say, yeah, that's
she right. It's
fine. What? Make your name great. Okay. That's it.
Impressive.
I'm just saying. Impressive. It's starting. You're
right.
Saying use positive later. Next.
It's Parsha. It's Parsha.
Who makes the name? Right. Okay. It just reminds me of this culture of.
Maybe that's the.
We live in a culture of celebrity, of wanting to be, of everyone wanting to be famous. You know what I'm saying? It just reminded me of the medals. Everybody has to have their certain sense of notoriety, recognition, notoriety. And we're all, we're all to one degree or another, subject to this culture. We want to be known. We want to be recognized.
But isn't that also, at least to some extent, part of the culture that people, some more than others, have the ambition and want to be known?
Is ambition the same as want to be known?
And.
Right.
No. It's two different things. Yeah.
There's some people that have something, and they don't
want
anyone
to
even know it. Which is completely different than saying that
one.
Right,
but that's not our culture today. That's rarer and rarer. Today, culture lauds people who are known that don't do anything.
Right.
But those are the most successful people are the people that are famous for being famous.
Doing nothing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. We don't laud people who, we don't really laud people who do things quietly and don't want to be known.
Because we don't know about it.
What?
Often we don't know
right,
about it.
Right, right. I say this not criticizing anybody other than myself. Why do I record this year? Because, of course, Harbatzat Torah and everybody. But there's an element of that. There's an aspect of that. I heard your shiur, when you go to travel wherever and somebody comes up to you from out of nowhere and say, I listened to your shiurim. It's like, that's makes you feel good. Aside from that's a wonderful thing. It is a good thing. But there's an ego to it. Because we're subject to it.
Saying, I'm going to make myself famous by recording Shiurim and saying, I heard Shiurim was really nice. The intent is totally different. Here they're saying, we're going to build this and make ourselves. That's their goal. Goal is to have a name.
Right. Okay. Good. I just wanted to point that piece and I can jump back to Kain and Hevel. Okay? I wanted to point that out. Just we're not going to do the whole. We did the whole section. We've done it actually before, but we're not going to do it right now. Turn back to the story of Cain and Hevel, which is Pasu Perek Dalet. another famous story, which we have done. Perek Dalet, the beginning of Perek Dalet. Pasuk Gimel. What's that from Pasuk Gimel? Pasuk Bet. Vatosef leledet et achiv et hevel. Right? She had the head Kayin, Yolav Liflami, and then she had Hevel. Vayi Hevel ro'etzo. The Kayin haya oved adama. Hevel was a shepherd, and Kayin was an oved. And Kayin was an oved adama. He was a worshipper of the worker of the land. Vayi miketz yamin. Worshipper of the land. Kayin brought an offering from the fruits of the land to God. Hevel also brought from the firstborn of his sheep and from their chela, from their fine fats, their choice fats. Vayishahem Hashem el Hevel ve'el minchato. God, Vayisha, is hard to translate. Rashi says God turned to, God accepted, God received. You know, so the question is, by the way, how do they know that God, Ve'el Kayin, Pasukei, Ve'el Kayin Ve'el Minchato, Lo Sha'ak, Vayicha the Kayin Ma'od Vayiplu Panav. And to Kayin and his offering, God did not turn, God did not, you know, receive, God didn't like Kayin's offering. And Kayin got angry, Vayiplu Panav, and his face fell. So the obvious questions are, there are a number of important questions, which are, what was wrong with Kayin's offering? A, how did he know that God accepted his brother's offering and not his? And why was he so upset?
It sounds like he initiated.
He came first, right.
He came first, it was his idea, and then...
And then what happened? So what happened? Why did God, like, according to the simple Mepharshim, according to Rashi, according to Midrash, why did God accept Hevel's mincha, not accept Kayin's mincha? Hevel brought the best. So what did Kayin bring? Leftovers. Right. Look at. One second. And how do you know that textually? What in the text tells you that? Like if you look at Rashi. Look at Rashi on Pasuk Gimel. Min mipri adama. Rashi says.
How do you know what?
Doesn't say the best.
Rashi says mipri agada min hagarua. He brought from the worst. How do you know that? What is Rashi? This Rashi's not making it up. The Midrash is making it up. What in the text is indicating that? What's that? There's something in the text that's telling them that.
Well,
that
on the Hevel side. Then.
Correct. Hevel brought Mibchorot Zono. So what did Kayin bring? Yeah, stuff. Stam. Okay, so.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it's worse. It could be regular. It wasn't the best.
No, Hevel was the shepherd. He brought what he worked with, but he brought his good stuff, the b'chorot. What did Kayin bring? So Rashi says he brought the leftovers. You know, he sold what he sold, and whatever's left, he said, "Oh, we'll give that to Tzedakah." Which is fine. We'll give that to God, and God said, "No, thank you." That's a simple understanding. Okay, is it indicated in the text? Sort of.
It just says that it was from the fruit. It doesn't mean it wasn't the
correct.
Right, if it was the best, presumably it would have said it was the best. Or the first.
Why didn't God accept? So what if it wasn't the best? Why didn't Hashem accept Kayin's offering?
It was an afterthought.
Was it?
No, it was an insult.
No, I'm saying it was an afterthought. If we're going with, he gave the leftovers, and it's an afterthought. Not an afterthought after his brother did it, but it's like...
He initiated the whole idea, and then Hevel comes along and says, and one-ups him. Okay, you know, there's always one-upsmanship in religious life. You know, I can always be firmer than you. But the first guy, at least, you know... He's trying. But he brought an offering.
But by not bringing the best, he's not recognizing that it's from Hashem.
You think so?
Yeah.
Does that sound fair?
Why?
It doesn't say. It just sounds like. I mean, he brought an offering.
If you appreciate something someone has given you, you want to give back to them, and you want to do the best you can for them. If you really appreciate them.
What's the history? They used to bring korban. Was this the first korban ever brought?
You know, like, these are the first two guys in ever. So
it's the first time
that they do such a thing.
Right. I mean, that we hear, that we know about.
Right.
So what did he do wrong? If that's what Rashi struggles with, that. So Rashi says what he did wrong is he took from his worst and said gave it to God. Seems strange. Why would he take his worst stuff in order to give to God? If you want to take your worst stuff. Don't give it to anybody. Use it for fertilizer. You know? Sell it to your brother for the animals. Like, if you, you know? It just seems unusual. So we're going to do a piece. So I brought for you a piece from Rav Kook. It's hard. The language is hard. I don't understand every word. But But I do know that I understand the gist of what he says. So I there's like five sheets. You can share it together. Okay? But, and he develops a theme that suggests, he develops a theme which explains that Cain's offering wasn't inherently bad in and of itself. But the offering of Cain was destructive because of what Cain tried to use his offering for. Okay, so we're going to read the piece of our cook together, and then we're going to use it as a sort of a jumping off point to speak about, like, you know, the purpose of religion and what the role of the Jewish people is among the nations of the world. You want to follow or you want to just listen?
Okay.
Says Rav Kook, and it's good if you have lines, because his language is... What? No, you say add line numbers in Word. That's automatically.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yesod harisha, the foundation of evil, shehi mitpatzelet la'avodah zara ubimin ulaminut. Mitpatzelet, it divides into two categories. Avodah zara, idolatry, and minut, apostasy. What's the difference between idolatry and apostasy? Minut?
No, what is apostasy?
Minut. Min is a ungodliness, denying of godliness. I'll explain. Huba livatzer makom lesige hachayim. It comes to livatzer from botzer, to produce, to create a place, sige hachayim, for the tentacles of life, for the negative aspects of life. You won't help you. Lemotarot hamitziutit shebhavaya ba'avadam, for the externalities that exist in existence for mankind. Meaning, evil is here to justify the things that we don't need. All the things that are extra, that are not necessary. Bemusar ubechefetz, in ethic and in will. Bemifal ubehanaga, in action and in the way we conduct ourselves. Lateilem godel v'shilton v'toch hatov v'hakodesh. Okay, minut. Why does apostasy, why does Avodah Zarah exist? I didn't do it. Why does Avodah Zarah exist? Avodah Zarah exists in order to justify the negative things that we want and that we want in our lives that are antithetical to spirituality and holiness. Okay, so a lot of idolatry in its original form was paganism. Worship of the body, the worship of pleasure. Right? Pagan gods. Physicality, sexuality. You eat, you drink, all kinds of, in order to elevate the things that we want to do in order to make them sort of holy in a sense. Okay? Lo, line six. Lo letaheret hakodesh. Doesn't purify the holy. Ki'im litam'o ulisa'avo. Rather to defile it. To make it tame. What is sa'av? Anybody know? Sa'av is disgusting. Miso'av is disgusting. Amnam, yeah. Mekoma shel avodah zarah hi mibachutz. But avodah zarah is not, it's not holy, it's the anti-holy. It's outside of shul. Okay? Omeret hi b'makom hazuhama, it is in the place of zuhama, of impurity. V'hamotrot hamukshamot v'hamufalot. Of these extra, dark, physical things. U'mevakeshet et bitzuram v'shlitatam v'itgabutam al kol tochen kodesh. Right? It tries to overtake holiness. Avodah Zarah doesn't... What? It's exactly right. It's like tentacles. It's got its... Avodah Zarah tries to weave its tentacles into life and overtake Kodesh. It's not holy. It's anti-holy. That's what Avodah Zarah does. Okay? You worship idols because you don't want holiness. You want the exact opposite of holy. Line 10. G'dola mimenu hi harisha hatzfuna ha'arsit shel haminut. Even greater, meaning even more terrible than this, is the tzafun, is the waiting evil. Arsit, eris, anybody with eris is? Poisonous, waiting evil of minut. What is minut? She mechapeset lapina ve'etzem ha'kodesh. It seeks to try to drive this desire into holiness itself. What it tries to do is to say, you can be holy and also fulfill your physical desires and the things that are antithetical to holiness. It says, those things are holy. That's a quote from somewhere in Tanakh, I don't know. You've got to know like all of everything in order to really understand the book. Line 12. Mitametzet hil hashir et kol zuhamata olam. What this minu tries to do is to leave all of the zuhama. Zuhama, how do you translate the word zuhama? No, but it's like a cloud. The stench. Zuhama is a stench. Zuhama is the stuff that you smell from like from the... What? Pollution, right. The zihum, it tries to leave all the pollution in the world. And call her gasut hagufanit, all of this physical gasut. Crudeness, thank you. Vekola nitiyot harishiot hauchazot bagufagas, all of the negative evil inclinations. Bipnimiyut yisoda vachomerim, in its internal physical foundations. Vela'alot imo el ha'osher shel hakodesh. And to use that, all this negativity, to arrive at holy the osher, the
treasure.
I'm thinking of a word. Osher. Osher is the happiness, the joy, right, of holiness. Line 15. Shumiyad mitchalel. But if when you try to do that, it's immediately mitchalel. It's defiled. Umistaev. And again, defiled, disgusting. So what Minu tries to do is to say, you can use all of these things and you can still be holy. You can do all the things you want to do and you can still be holy. No problem. Right? It's one thing to say, I do all the things I do, you leave your holiness there, I worship my idols. I fulfill myself in another way. He says, that's Avodah Zarah. That's terrible. But something even worse is to say, you can be holy and at the same time do anything you want to do. That they're not opposite. They're the same. It's great. You can defy yourselves in the most negative ways, and at the same time, you're holy people.
I don't think that's what he's saying.
I know that's what he's saying. He'll explain.
Well, 1 minute. It sounds like he's saying that using physical things in order to... Like all the things that we always talk about.
Rav Kook's big thing is you can use your physicality. The Hasidus is you can use your physicality in spiritual ways.
Right.
This is not what he's talking about. He's talking about using. You have a desire, a yetzahara to do something. That's fine. You could do that, but you're still holy. No. No, he's not saying channel yetzahara for good things. He's not saying that. He's saying.
Justifying.
No, he's saying you can still be holy. You can still be holy. That doesn't detract from your holiness. Ah, you go do X, Y, and Z. It's okay.
Oh, it's not justifying.
You'll see in a second. Line 15. Now we get to the parasha. My bold. Lo sha'a Hashem el Kayin ve'la minchato. So remember our question, why didn't God accept Kayin and his offering? Why? Mibnei harish'ah shaita bo achuzah. Because there was a rish'ah, there was an evil in Kayin himself. What Rav Kook says is, the mincha, the offering of Kayin, wasn't the problem. The problem was, Kayin was trying to use his offering to paper over, we don't know anything about Kayin.
Yeah, so why do we get that?
What?
So why did
we
get that?
I close the Chumash. Let's go back to the Chumash for a second. Let's go back to Kayin for a second. What does God say to Kayin when Kayin gets upset?
Hashem knows his intentions.
Yes. Hold on. Let's go back. A parak dalet. Kayin is really angry. Vayomer kai Hashem el Kayin. God says to Kayin, Lama charalach, v'lama naflu panecha. Why are you so angry? Isn't that so weird, by the way? First of all, why did Kayin get so upset? So, like, in its simplest understanding,
or that he's using it as a teachable moment.
In the simplest understanding, by the way, why didn't God? Because Kayin says,
why does God care?
I gave you an offering. Isn't it good enough? You know, I did my thing. No, I'm saying, but in the simplest understanding. Remember, we talked about the idea of everybody wanting to be recognized just for showing up. So like, in as simple as understanding, Kayin says, I did it. What's wrong? Give me my medal. Give me my, I ran the race, give me my medal. You know, certificate. He does say, he's lama charalach, vayiplu panah, vayichal Kayin. He's angry. It's a very strange reaction, isn't it? I gave an offering, and God doesn't take my offering, and I'm like, chutzpah,
But why is there an assumption that he knows what he did wrong?
Because he knows his intention. If only his intention was wrong, he could easily make proof for his father, who didn't see the other end. He just wanted to go.
Let's not mix. Let's not, I don't want to mix. I don't want to go into Esau. It's a totally different parasha, which I'm sure we'll get to. Why are you so angry? Why did your face fall? Which is, by the way, a fascinating phrase. Naflu panav. Face fall. What in the world does that mean? Hello im teitiv se'et. If you... What? I'm sorry, I didn't hear. No, I didn't hear. I just didn't hear.
Sometimes when they fall on their face, it's a shock.
No, you pull al panav. Naflu panav. What does it mean? You're like this. What is nafili in French again?
Like a tantrum.
Your face fell.
You're just like, oh,
just despondent.
God.
Yes.
Well, why didn't you tell?
I realized that something's wrong.
So one perush I saw. One perush I saw was that his face fell. That when you become so angry, your face represents your soul. Of course, your neshama. And when you become angry, you lose your essential self and you become someone else. And that's how they interpret Naflu Panecha. You've lost
your face fell away from you.
Yes. Alright. Im teitiv se'et. If you improve se'et, Rashi says, based on Unklus, what that means is your sins will be forgiven. Im lo teitiv, and if you don't improve, lepetach chatat roveitz.
But it's also
you stand. Right, but that's what Rashi says. Rashi says se'et means you will be. It will be accepted. It seems to imply that Cain had done something wrong, and that he offered this offering in order to, as a, I don't know.
Meaning, if you do tshuva for this other, you're saying that the indication is not that he should do tshuva for his reaction to the korban or for some of the something about the way he gave the korban, but that there was something. Prior to that he did, that he's bringing...
Sounds like that. It's impossible to know. Yeah, it sounds like that.
Like, he did something bad. He's like, okay, sorry. And God's like, that's not enough.
Right.
He says, what?
Exactly. Have you heard a child say that?
I
said, I'm sorry. Right, but you didn't mean it. How do you know I didn't mean it? Right, you know what I'm saying? V'ilote tiv lepetach atat ovetz. Rashi says, the petach kivrecha, at the entrance of your grave, chatatcha shamor. Your sin... is guarded, is held. Which means there's something else going on. There's something more here. And he continues, Ve'elecha teshukato v'atachim shalomlo. Ve'elecha, and to you, is teshukato. It's very vague. Is your desire. V'atachim shalomlo, and you will rule over. Is it your brother? Is it your sin?
Your desire.
Is that what he says? How does he translate?
It's desire is toward you, yet you
what desire? Yetzirah.
Yetzirah, yeah. That's
okay.
What Rashi says.
But we see that there's something much deeper going on in Cain. He reacts violently to this thing. So why did God accept his mincha? Says Rav Kook, back on line 15. Lo sha'a Hashem el Cain vel minchato, v'bnei harish'a sh'hayta bo achuza. Right? God didn't accept Cain's mincha because of the evil that was in his heart, that was a part of Cain. Oto haretzach, the murder, meaning he committed murder later. But the act, of course, happened later. But Cain was in himself a murderer. Sheyatza el haporel achakach, the murder that happened, that came into fruition afterwards, haya ganuz v'safun, ganuz gniza, was guarded v'safun, hidden, bekoach, in its potential, in its power, Gam be'et hava'at korban mipri ha'adama. When he brought his korban, he was still a murderer. The korban zet to'evahi. So what did Cain try to do? What did Cain try to do? The image you want to get is, what's the image? The image is of the mafia boss, right? That goes to and brings his whatever.
No.
Yes, exactly the image.
No, it's the image of the Iranian president. Speaking platitudes.
No, because that guy, nobody thinks he means what he says.
Well, some people think.
Some people do believe him.
Well.
Not anyone, but we regard.
Right, well, we hope that they don't think that he means what he says. Okay. This korban is a toeva. Why? Because what you try to do is, what you're saying is, I can still be the person that I want to be. I'm still the same old Cain. I'm a murderer, I'm a thief, I'm a whatever. But here, God, here. is for you. And we're good, right? Says Rav Kook, that kind of offering, that kind of offering is not, it's not parav. It's an abomination. Because it makes a mockery of what an offering is about.
We didn't have any indication of Cain's personality beforehand.
Not really.
No, but you take from the things that happened afterwards and then...
By the way, it's all, I have to tell you, this is all, like I like what I said at the beginning, what we do with the parsha is drash. That's what I do drash. Rav Kook, this isn't shot. It's total drash. Right, Rav Kook is offering a polemic, clearly a polemic against Christianity, as you'll see in a little bit. And this piece is called Yisrael V'Tchiyato, the nation of Israel and its awakening. And Rav Kook, as you'll see, is addressing the idea of why did the Jews suffer for so long and why have the Christians dominated over us for so many years? What is it? And how are we going to... And Rav Kook believed in the ultimate, the redemption of the Jewish people. So he's relating to this, but he's doing it through the prism of Cain, as we'll see. Line 18. I'm watching the time. The Korban Zet to Evahu. This offering is an abomination. Hu hu hamagbirat koach hara. It raises the power of evil. V'hachata tarovet al hapetach. Hu mitgaber umitametz al yedei reach hakodesh. Shukolet el kirbo umhavcho letchunato. Because he takes his purity and his holiness and he says, oh, see, I'm a frum guy. So I could be frum and I could be a murderer and there's no contradiction. I could be terrible and I can offer offerings to God. And that's good.
It's like feeding off the chatat. It's like feeding off the
absolutely. Of course, because you're a pure guy. You're a holy person. They don't contradict one another. You're lauded for your this and then there's no, you know what I'm saying? It's all the same.
The first Beit HaMikdash is destroyed for that.
Koach so yes, koach sovevet v'holechet hi hakinut harisha. Kinut from the word, from what word? Kinut from Cain. This is the Cainness of evil. That's why God didn't take to Cain, because Cain said, "I can be who I am, and I can offer an offering, and it's all good." Hachevtza sheteiti beinei Hashem. The desire that whatever I do is good in God's eyes. Shehashem yishei la vel min chata. But he has to know that he wants God to accept, even though he knows kima as Hashem ba. Upaneha noflim v'chara la ma'od v'kaasa agur betocha. He's an angry, destructive, sinful person. Ubechol eit mitzo hine yad harotziach mitgale. At every moment, the murderer is, you know, at the precipice to be revealed. Line 24. Tzivyon hachatat. She'elav teshukato shel hadam hakeini. This is the feature, the ofi, the tzivyon, the form of sin that was the desire of the Cain-like blood. Mitra'eh bechol to'avato. It appears in all of its abomination. The abomination isn't so much that Cain is an evil person. Everybody's evil. We all have Yetzer Hara. The abomination is his attempt to paint lipstick on a pig. And I use the word, I'm not exaggerating, but lipstick on a pig, you'll see in a second. Rav Kook uses that imagery. He didn't use lipstick, but he says, okay? Yesod ha-minut, the foundation of minut, she-la'aga al divrei chachamim, la'aga is to scoff at the words of the chachamim, v'asta shamut b'Yisrael pnima, and made shamut, shamut is curse of the Jewish people, Asher amna mipne hayad hagdola mileti koach Hashem asher bechayei hauma lo hitzlicha laharos et hashtut. Okay, it's the what he's saying is, and I can't translate every word. It's the antithesis of what Yisrael is about. But it didn't have succeed in destroying the Jewish people. Okay, b'chol zot hichina la korim. A korah is a beam. But it was able, it was this foundation of minut was able to establish itself, to establish serious foundations in the world. Line 28. Asher tzalchu, from hatzlacha, they succeeded, liyot le'ereg shel machzek hazav al pnei amim rabim. It had the ability to sort of cover over many nations. Huchlafa ha'elilut b'minut. When idolatry went out of fashion, when people stopped worshipping idols, so what did they take up instead? They took up this minut. This exact minut. Lo ha'tochen ha'pnimi hutav. So when they got rid of idolatry, so the inner content wasn't improved. Ki'im ha'imda. Rather, the emda, the attitude. They're spiritual. We're all holy. We all worship God. Hatoa chitzoni guhatz kimat. You know what legahetz means? It was ironed over. You know, we got rid of all the wrinkles. The tochen ha'chitzoni. Everything looks smooth on the outside. Aval ha'matara achati. But the goal is one. Lo lekadesh et haratzon, et ha'chayim, et ha'olam hagas, v'et ha'pnimut ha'mahutit. This is what Rav Kook says. What should we have done? What should the world have done? To sanctify the will, life, the physical world, the essential pnimiyut. Ayidei kol oto haseder amuchan lekach ba'atzat Hashem gedola. Right? How do you improve yourself? How do we really make ourselves better? How do we sanctify the world?
Modeling Hashem.
Hard work. Spiritual work. What?
Spirituality.
Spirituality. Real but spirituality. Not paper spirituality. Not, you know, I go, I say, I do blah, 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 sis, boom, bah, and I, you know, it's all good. Okay? She is soda hukva bi Israel. That was established in Israel. Begoy kadosh. I'm going to skip a little bit. Blah, blah, blah. Line 36. Lo lizoti migamata. That's not what it tried to do, this migama, this minut. Hakinut, again, what is this kindness? Asta ba'adam et ha-mif'al ha-karchi b'Yisrael. It did to humankind what Korach tried to do to the Jewish people. What did Korach do? Ha-kriyashel, what did Korach say to Moshe? Ki kol ha'ida kulam kidoshim u'betocha Hashem. Right? Moshe, we don't need you. We don't need Kohanim. We don't need leaders. Everyone's holy. We should all get a medal. What? I told you it's Incredibles, right? Like, you know, everybody saw the Incredibles when he
arrived.
There's a very famous fight scene I was going to show to you. Look at it. It appears on YouTube. It's like a fight scene when she says, I don't believe you. You won't even go to your son's graduation. And he says, it's not a graduation. He's going from the fourth grade to the fifth grade. You know, we seem to want to make milestones. Everybody needs to be special. You know, it is that idea. We're all holy. Everybody's special. Everyone's the same. That's what Korach tried to do. Line 38. Haitap kri'a lo eget. It was a scoffing call. L'chol tochen hakodesh u'l'chol ha'rumamut b'ha'achana tochit. All of the exaltedness and the hachana, the preparation, the internal preparation. Hadrusha l'he'asot. That must be done. Ad shi'a hakodesh mevusas b'chayai ha'emet. You want to be holy? You better work. You better do the hard work that's necessary to become holy. Korach said, nah, who needs it? We're all holy. Everybody's the same. There's no difference between Moshe and Shmendrik. What did Moshe do that we don't do? God chose us all. She'em uftach, mipubuk sagam v'sa'ov. Okay. Line 41. Al kenu chracha davar shi'ared l'chaim sh'ola. That had to be gone. That had to be sent down to hell. Lehe abed mitocha kahal, liot le'olam le'od libnei Mary. Rav Kook is saying something so deep and so powerful. The nations of the world tried to do to the Jewish people what Korach tried to do to Moshe. Korach said to Moshe, we don't need Moshe's. We're all holy. Right? Everyone's the same. Everyone's kadosh. The nations of the world said to the Jewish people, we don't need Jews. What did they say in essence? We're all the Jewish people. We are the essential children of the chosen people. We are their descendants. We don't need one nation different than every other nation. We don't need somebody to tell us how it's supposed to be. In order to prove it, we're going to get rid of it. We're going to destroy it. Line 43. Hakri'ah el kol ha'amim, the call to all of the nations. Hashku'im b'chol refesh atuma. They're involved in God only knows what. B'chol ma'amkei ha'resha v'ha'ba'arut. All of the depths of evil. B'tahomot ha'choshech ha'yoter ma'chridot. The depths of darkness that make you just shudder. Hinchem kulam kedushim. You're all holy. Kulam b'nei Hashem. Right? We're all children of God. Ein hefresh b'ein am la'am. Einam kadosh v'nivchar ba'olam. There's no shekol ha'adam hu kadosh b'shaveh. Anybody think of a song that you all know by heart that makes this exact call? Anybody think of one? Imagine all the people. Right? What was the call? What was the song? What did he say? Imagine a world. I was reading an article about Rav Kook's attitude. He says, imagine there's no countries. It's not so hard to do. Nothing to kill for die for or die for. Next word?
No religion.
And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Oh, oh. Right? It's a great song.
I should have bought a guitar.
I wasn't such a big, you know. But this song is one of the most popular songs in the history. It's a great tune in the history of rock and roll.
Yeah.
Right? We are the children. Great song, right? This is the vision. We are all the same, and no religion too. Why no religion? Religion is evil. You see this all the time. Religion is the core. Religion is the source of negativity. If we just get rid of the religion of one being better than the other, of this idea of exaltedness, the world would be a better place. What?
Communism.
It's a monetary policy. By the way, if you want to know, if you want to study communism,
there's no religion.
If you want to look at it, study Rav the Nitziv Ha'amit Davar and Migdal Bavel. Fascinating. Ask me some other time. Fascinating. Okay. He says basically that's what they tried to do. That was what their problem was. They wanted to make sure everybody thought the same. The thought police. Anyway, Hinchem Kulam Kedoshim. Kulam b'nei Hashem, ein hifresh, ein menam kadosh v'nichar. Line 47. Kol adam hu kadosh b'shaveh. Everyone's the same. Zot hi hakarchut ha'enoshi. This is the korach that with Jewish people. That's the korach of everyone. She hakenut hachadasha. That's the kindness, the new kindness. Shemimena sovel ha'adam. That humankind is suffering from. This idea that everyone's the same. That's what Cain said. Cain said, I could do what I want, and I could still be holy. Introducing
diversity.
Correct. Rav Kook very much believed in the idea of diversity.
But I'm saying,
I skipped the section, by the way. He says it's interesting. The kol umah lefi tochna. I'm not interrupting. I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you. Right. I'm excited about it. Every nation has something to give to humanity. He was very much a universalist, but universal. But at the same time, that doesn't deny the role of the Jewish people. Now you can finish. I'm sorry.
I was just saying that it always also is the punishment of everybody being spread out in different languages is a punishment, but it seems that Rav Kook is saying that this is really actually beneficial.
Correct, it was necessary.
The fact that then people felt like, well, then the Jews don't belong in that picture, but meaning maybe that was sort of the introduction to anti-Semitism. But
why not? Why wouldn't diversity?
Because you're saying, once there was diversity, they felt like, oh, well, we're the Jews in this picture of us, you know, like being, if we're all spread out and we're all different, why is there this one group that's...
By the way, this is a fascinating, what I would call a geopolitical discussion. It's a huge, we live in what we call a postmodern world. Postmodern world asks a very simple question. Why are we divided into countries again? Don't we all want to live together and agree on, like, think about the world today. Russia is sort of a democracy. China is sort of moving to, whatever. You know what I'm saying? At least on face value, everybody claims to be the same. They all claim to have elections.
Striving for the same goals.
Right. At least the same face value. We're living in...
I don't agree.
In the postmodern world wonders, what's the difference between France, England, and Germany? Except that they speak different languages and they hate each other. Aside from that, what's the difference between them? Why not? Not what they did, by the way. You're absolutely wrong. You know, it got so far that they decided to almost get rid of those countries and create one big country that's called European Union. Until now, they're just sort of realizing that maybe they really are different and that they don't really want to bail each other out when they all, you know, fall apart.
It's all money.
Right? It's all about money. But anyway, but you understand what I'm saying? This idea of we're all the same. We're all the same. We should be all the same. We want the same things. This is what he says. Line 52, the end of line 52. And then I'll paraphrase what he says, because he sort of ties this into the Jewish people. Ha'olam tzarich shiakir. The world has to recognize, line 53. Ki lo behege echad, be'omrat emuna mitu eret levad, dai la'adam la'uf le'gan Eden. He says, you can't fly to Gan Eden just by saying, I believe. Anybody think of a religion that seems to imply that you could? Yeah, he's clearly. By the way, why is he against Christianity? Because Christianity was the driving force that drove down the Jews for millennia. And so if the rise of the Jewish nation must, by definition, come at the expense of Christianity. And make no mistake about it, it's absolutely true. Which is why, for decades after the establishment of the state of Israel, the Vatican refused to recognize Israel as a country. Because how can Israel be a country if we are the real Jews? This is fascinating. See, he says explicitly, without saying the words Christianity, minut is what he's describing. This idea that you can say two Hail Marys, go to your priest and say, I killed four people and I feel really bad. I was talking to Rav Shtul, he pointed me in the direction of this piece because we were talking about this idea. And he says, you don't even have to say, I'm not going to do it again. Like, at least in our tshuva, you have to work on yourself. You have to commit never to do it again. You don't have to do that. You just say, okay, do whatever you do. You know, it's really bad. Yeah, I know. I really shouldn't do that. Well, I mean, that's our impression. I don't know how true it is.
Even further, no, the idea behind Christianity is Jesus died for my sins, so I'm already
saved. As long as I believe in him, I'm already saved.
Right, so I can do whatever, but I believe, so I'm okay.
That's exactly right. I don't have to do anything. Okay.
It depends on the denomination.
Some of the denomination.
Yeah. Okay. Dai la adam la uf gan eden v'chol otzar hara. What about the evil haretzach v'hatauv v'asafun v'chol chadrei rucho? What about all the evil in your spirit? B'damo b'saro yachol yishar beino. That's fine. Umemele halo enenu tzarich tzaruf v'limud. He doesn't require purification, learning, rakuz v'aliyah, elevation, and rakuz is like from tarkiz, concentration. Okay. Late de'atir mechazira. Says there's no animal that's as rich as the pig. The Gemara says, Mezonotav gam ruchanim mitzuyim lo b'chol makom es chazman. Why is the pig rich? Because he's got his food everywhere. He'll eat anything. V'damyan me'e libnei inshe. The Gemara says also, the innards, the guts of a pig are very similar to the guts of a human being. Derech agav, biologically it's true.
Right.
Yeah. There you go. That's what the Gemara says. Sure. But isn't that like, that's what the Rav Kook says. The pig, and by the way, what do we know about the pig? That's right, it has split hooves.
And it's outside.
His outside is, I'm from. But the inside, safe as you can get. Okay, so then Rav Kook, I'll paraphrase the end. He says it's going to end. Ketusam. This is ultimately going to end because the world will ultimately come to realize that true spirituality comes through hard work, comes through what we call tziruf, comes through purification, comes through the process of the work needed to be done in order to purify and elevate and become spiritual. But he also makes it a very fascinating allusion. He says, the suffering that we went through galut, the Jewish people suffering, is part of our process of purification. And when the nations of the world see the Jewish people in their exalted state, in their binyan, in their exalted state, in their high level, in Eretz Yisrael, as a nation, as a spiritual people, and then we go back to them and we reach out to them in friendship, after all the garbage they gave us for so many years, after all the terrible things they did to us for so many years, then they'll come back to us and say, what we thought all these years that you could achieve spirituality through the ethics of Cain, that's wrong. We were wrong. You were right. We need the Jewish people to show us that you have to work a little bit. You have to work in order to achieve spirituality. You can't just offer an offering and still be the same people that you are. You have to go through the fiery furnace. The crucible of exile. The suffering that the Jewish people endured in order to purify yourselves and become a holy people. And only when you do that can you achieve godliness and spirituality. So it's he uses the idea, there's a beautiful idea of Kayin as a sort of jumping off point, A, to go out like as this polemic against Christianity. But in order to promote the idea of the role of the Jewish people in the world, and the role that Judaism preaches, that we're not all the same. We're essentially different. We have a job to, the world, every nation has something critical to contribute to humanity. But the Jewish people, the role of the Jewish people is to show that we're not the same spiritually. Spirituality comes from work within. And it can't come on top of, to paper over, to iron over, you know, to put the lipstick on the pig and say that you can be whatever you want on the inside and all you have to do on the outside is be holy. Is that ethic going away? Not right now. Until we get, that's our job is to get our house in order. And when we get our house in order, maybe then the nations of the world will look to us and say, ah. Till that time, we're still waiting. All right, that's the piece. Food for thought. As you all look at your running medals.